say, do not murder. The Jewish leaders would say, do not murder. The religious leaders would say, do not murder. And they would sit back, cross their arms with a smug look on their face, and look over, look better, look more righteous, look down their nose at anyone who had committed murder, but their hearts would be full of anger. See, Jewish thinking forgot the heart. Jesus was very concerned with the heart. Someone can have more murder and more hate in their heart than someone who actually goes out and commits it. So they would say, do not murder. Jesus, well, wait a minute. What God is getting at is more than just the activity or the action of murder. God wants you to think about the heart, and righteousness is a righteousness that not only in action carries out the word of God, but does so from the heart. So not only must not you murder, but what's going on in your heart? But I tell you, that everyone who's angry with his brother is liable, will be liable to judgment. Must go further than the command not to murder. The act of murder must go beyond that. What's in the heart? Sinful anger is just as liable to judgment as someone who goes out and kills another person. There are times when anger is not sinful. The Bible says Jesus was angry, but he had never sinned. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, in your anger, do not sin. But very clearly, there are times when anger is sinful and wrong. The word for angry that is used here is the word that talks about simmering anger, smoldering bitterness. It is the anger that refuses to forgive and holds a grudge. It's the anger that you hold in your heart day after day, month after month, and maybe even year after year. 1 John 3:15 says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, he gives two vocalizations of murder here, or of anger in the heart. It says in verse 22, whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever insults his brother. It's the word raka in the Greek. The word borrow from Aramaic. One who is totally lacking in understanding. It's to call someone, a word we might use today is numbskull. The council here is the Jewish high council or the Sanhedrin. So you get angry at someone and you begin vocalizing that in your words. Look at the second word. He says, whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. That is, will be liable to hell where there is fire. These are words that are spoken of in anger. Pharisees would not commit the act of murder, but they would be angry enough at Jesus to get the Romans to murder him for them. It's very easy to sit back, hide your sin, look down your nose at others who commit acts that are wrong, but really have more sin in your own heart. You can be angry at somebody that did something to you when you were young. Maybe you're mad at your parents. Maybe you're mad at some family member that offended you, so you've been holding that anger in for years. I have talked to people that have been angry with other people for 15, 60 years. Angry with people since their childhood. Angry with a neighbor. Angry with a family member or a friend. They would never murder somebody, but they would murder somebody over and over in their heart. If you're going to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the religious leaders of the day, it is a righteousness that is heart-driven. It is a righteousness that takes care of the heart, takes care of the inside, as well as the outward activity. I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. So murder not even in the heart. Number two, fix relationships before going to worship. Fix relationships before going to worship. This is worship. I'm talking about corporate worship, Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe a group where a group of believers gather together, maybe in a home, and maybe a Wednesday night, it may be, you know, another day of the week. You gather together with others for worship, public corporate worship. We need to fix relationships before we do that. Look at verse 23 and 24. This relates to the issue of anger. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, you're the innocent party in this case. Remember that. In this case, you're the innocent party. Somebody has something against you. You there go to worship. In those days, you're giving your offering. It may have been an offering for forgiveness. You remember as you do that, oh, you know what? Somebody's holding something against me. I did something that's offended somebody. They're holding something against me. Not that I think I'm the offender, but they think I am. What do? Leave your gift there before the altar and go. Leave. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift. So you leave the place of worship because your brother has something against you. They think you've done something to offend them. Leave your gift there. Leave worship. Go get it right. So important to worship. He says, don't even wait until worship is over. Don't even wait to offer your gift. Don't even wait to put your offering there at the place of offering. You remember that you and your brother aren't right. You and your sister are not right. Leave and go. We need to fix relationships before we worship God, no matter who is at fault. Even in this case where we're innocent, the next case it's going to be different. Even if you consider yourself to be the victim. And isn't it interesting that usually we think we're the victim? Leave your offering, go and be reconciled. As I said, the reference here may be an offering for forgiveness. So if you're going to ask God to forgive you, go get it right. The altar is the place of sacrifice. One cannot go and get forgiveness if there's a problem with somebody else. Skip over to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our sin, as we've forgiven others who've sinned against us. If we have a problem, if another person has a problem with us, if our horizontal relationships are not right, we need to get them right, even before we worship God. And what Jesus is saying here is, if you go to worship and you go with a heart that's not right, you go and you know that you're not right with your brother and sister Christian, yet you come to worship and you act as if everything's great. As I would say, you go as if everything's hunky-dory. Everything's fine. You're worshiping vertically with God, whom you've never seen. With those whom you've seen, your relationship's not right. Jesus says, get it right. Get it right. I think sometimes the world looks at us Christians and they see those who proclaim Christ, they see those who have a relationship with Christ, and they know that we're not right with other people. And I think often they look at us, and that's where this charge of hypocrisy comes in. Go get it right. So before worship, fix relationships. Notice number three. Fix relationships before going to court. Again, the issue is anger. This time in verse 25 and 26, you're the offending party. So it doesn't matter which side of it you're on, whether you think you're the innocent or the offending party, Christ deals with both. Look what happens, verse 25. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Reconcile. Get things right on the way to court. Reconciliation between brothers must be accomplished, whether innocent or offending. Time for reconciliation is always now. According to Roman law, remember this, take this back in the setting of the day. According to Roman law, you can settle on the way to court. There's a problem between you and somebody else. There's a debt. There's something going on. You could settle on the way to court. But once you got to the court, that was it. Once you got before the judge, you couldn't look at each other and say, you know, we've decided to settle these things. According to Roman law, once you got to court, now it's in the judge's hands. Now, got to be careful. Got to be done in wisdom. Got to be done when the opportunity is there. You don't want to make matters worse. Jesus is saying, look, if you're angry, if there's an issue where there's anger, even before you go to worship, even before you go to court, get it right. If you don't, verse 25, you'll be handed over to the judge. The judge hands you over to the guard. The guard puts you in prison. Verse 26, you're not going to get out until you've paid every last penny. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, look, when there are issues between us and another Christian, we need to settle them quickly. When there are issues between us and not just other Christians, but anybody, we need to settle matters quickly. Again, if we go back to the word angry in verse 22, it's talking about that anger that is kind of just below the surface. It is a bitterness that doesn't want to forgive. It is the grudge that you hold against somebody. You know, we wouldn't let a busted water pipe go and say, well, you know, we'll just let it drain water and it'll fix itself. Hope the leak quits. But we're willing to do that with relationships. Anger that refuses to forgive, bitterness with a past relationship can affect every other relationship today and in the future, especially our relationship with God. And listen to this. In 1994, an article was written called Wars. Lethal leftovers threaten Europeans. Here's what it says. The bombs of World War II are still killing in Europe. They turn up. They sometimes blow up at construction sites, in fishing nets, or on beaches 50 years after the guns fell silent. Hundreds of tons of explosives are recovered every year in France alone. 13 old bombs exploded in France in 1993, the year before this article was written. The detonators can explode. Corrosion inside the bombs. Weapons become unstable. They blow up. What is true of lingering bombs is also true of lingering anger. Buried anger will explode often when we least expect it. What Jesus is saying here is that he doesn't want mere outward conformity to the law. You know, we dress up like a Christian. We look like a Christian. We get Christian words in our mouth. But inside, we're full of anger. Inside, we're full of bitterness. Inside, we're holding grudges. Inside, we're not living righteously. The righteousness of verse 20 that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees is a righteousness that is inside, not just outside. Christianity is not mere outward activity, but righteousness that begins in the heart. Christ wants us to have right relationships with all people. He wants to harbor no bitterness, no anger that just is there year after year after year. In fact, Ephesians tell us that when the sun goes down, so should our anger. If you hold your anger till tomorrow, you've just sinned against God. So what do we need to do in response to this issue of anger as it relates to righteousness? Leave now. Settle a dispute. Fix a broken relationship. Ask God for harsh words against someone else. Words that were full of anger and bitterness. Calling someone a moron or a fool because you were angry with them. You may have never committed a murder, but your heart may be full of anger and bitterness. You know, are you angry towards a parent or a sibling? Are you angry towards someone else? Are you holding a grudge that should have been settled years ago? For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. I say to you, Jesus said, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Don't let this day pass before you empty your life of any anger, bitterness, or grudge that you may be still holding on to. If you want your righteousness to exceed them, begins in the heart. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, I pray as we look at this first issue of righteousness that we wouldn't sit back and point our finger at the actions of someone else. Because we know so often our own hard attitudes or even our actions sometimes doesn't get caught. We do the same things, but we don't get caught. Or we still have it in our heart even though we don't do it. I pray, Lord, that our righteousness may be heart-driven, may be real and sincere. Help us, Lord, to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees because it's not empty and outward, but it's real and inward, and then ultimately is seen in our actions. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.